My name is Jerome Flynn, and I am the main presenter and narrator of the documentary.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Jerome. Could you just start off what this new documentary, Hogwood Farms, is all about? It's quite harrowing, right?
Yes, it's, I'm sad to say, it's probably the most upsetting film I've seen, which is saying something, because I've seen a few. But I still didn't imagine that these kinds of conditions could be found in a farm in this country. And the truth is that this, it's being proved that this farm is not on its own. There are scenes, I mean, just the general premise of intensive farming, of what is still unbelievably legal, is widespread. Just in, you've got thousands of animals packed together, in this case pigs, who are said to have the emotional intelligence of 4-year-old children, who never get to see the light of day. They're living in concrete sheds with hardly room to move. They're actually, there's footage, repeated examples of them actually eating each other whilst alive. Carcasses of diseased and dying animals are thrown out into the corridors. They're being beaten by the people who are supposed to be taking care of these animals' lives whilst they're alive. It's stuff you don't want to have to see this stuff. And I had to kind of, it was hard to keep my eyes on the screen when I first witnessed this, but it's so important for us to see this, because part of the problem is it's been kept in the shadows. And there's a label at the heart of this, which the farming industry came up with, which is government approved. It's approved by the main retailers, in this case Tesco, which is supposed to signify that the animals are being looked after, that you're getting your meat from a good place. And it is anything but that. And it's not just this farm. Let's just expose another one. And it took Viva years and many thousands of people, 150 local campaigns, and repeatedly calling the police. It took them years to actually get them to drop Hogwood. And so that's how much our animals are being cared for. The government is now still allowing this red tractor label to be seen as some kind of sign of welfare. So they're colluding. And it's the time is for the truth to come out. And that's happening, obviously, in so many areas of our lives now. And I feel there is an awakening. And if you like, the lockdown has given us all a chance to sit back and to start to kind of slow down and digest a lot of the human rights abuses, but abuses of our nature and of all living beings that is going on in the name of, very often, in the name of profit. And so we're really hoping that as many people can see this and spread it around and that the truth comes out, because it's enough to stop you wanting to eat meat altogether, but most certainly from having anything to do with any intensive farming, because the film spreads out into a wider view of the extensiveness of our cruelty to animals, but also the effect, the devastating effect of intensive farming and animal agriculture is having on the environmental ecocidal crisis we are in the midst of. I'm banging on, but it's obviously, you can tell, something I'm passionate about.
Yeah, of course. I completely agree with you. I saw a couple of clips yesterday, and it is truly very, very hard to watch. But you know, I agree that it's necessary, because it's, you know, something that has been in the shadows, as you mentioned, and it should be much more to the light of how, especially in the UK, where you think it's, you know, where you think it's the conditions are, you know, standard and are very, very good. Why I can tell that this is a very passionate project of yours. Why did you decide to get involved in the first place? Have you worked with people before? Was it something that you've always been interested in?
I think it's Viva might have been one of them. Well, Julia Spin, who runs Viva, is wonderful, Julia Galatius. has become friends. She's been a huge influence in me, and her tireless campaigning to expose the truth is part of what brought me back to veganism. I started when I was 18, and I found it at the time I couldn't keep it up. It was very different then. We're not supported in the same way, and now it's so much easier to either cut out your meat protein intake completely, or to just cut down on it. So it's something. Yes, it's the animal cruelty and the truth of what's happening in our factory farming is what turned me vegan, vegetarian when I was 18. And I couldn't be passionate about this, I don't know what I could be. Because we've got to a point where we have become so disconnected from nature and our own nature and our connection to nature that we that desensitized, and that with that kind of incentivized by profit and being led by corporate governments who are only interested in profit led, that when you put animals and the health of humans, medicine, and profit together, it's a disastrous combination. It's disastrous for animals, for humans, and for the planet. So what is more important at this time than coming back to nature and restoring the balance, the health and the balance of life on Earth? Because if we don't do it now, we know now. It's kind of indisputable. We've only got a few years to put this right. And how we treat our animals is a major part of it. I mean, it's 96% of soya from the Amazon forest that we need desperately for this planet, are going to feed cows and pigs and chickens to produce their protein. It's an absolutely insane. It's an insane system we had of feeding the world, because in the end, it's going to do the very opposite. It's going to take life away, and we're on a self-destruction. But things are changing. The good news is, I do feel there's an awakening happening. So much of this injustice and so much of this turning away from life. We're born up in a culture that, you know, it's no wonder that for me there's mental health. There's the mental health issues we have, and young people taking their lives, because what are they seeing? What are they seeing in the culture around them when life isn't valued? All of life, that's including the way we treat each other, not just our animals. So I really implore people to watch the film, to think deeply if they're going to eat meat. I mean, it's a fact. We have to radically, radically reduce the amount of meat we eat. But if we're going to eat meat, let's make sure it doesn't come from anywhere where the animals aren't respected and revered for the life that they are, and that they have decent lives and are cared for, rather than just farmed for profit, which is what's happening with most of our animals.
Yeah, and you know, it goes to show that expression, you know, treating someone like an animal, it shouldn't be that way, right? And you know, I couldn't agree more with you about the culture. It really does, it links very well and very aptly to how humans interact with each other as well.
It is absolutely. It's why we are animals, and that's degrading. It's like that's making our decision and standing above nature and separating ourselves from it and from life. And, you know, our indigenous ancestors and the ones that we are blessed enough to still have are First Nation people, have been telling us this for years. And it's within their wisdom and their natural upbringing where they haven't had their consciousness colonized, which we all have. You know, there was a time where our ancestors were born as indigenous, as native to the land, and understood their part in nature and their part and the interconnectedness of all life and the sacredness of all life. And we've lost that, and there's trauma from our loss, and this is part of the trauma. It's like with there's an archetype, there's a human archetype called the hungry goat, and you feel that that is working very strongly in us. It's like we're trying to fill this hole because of the trauma of being disconnected from us, from our nature, which started 2,000 years ago. So yes, but that is, there is, you can sense that there's a deep change happening, and this time, you know, with the virus and having lockdown, has been, I think, a catalyst for a shift in consciousness. So it's really important for us to bear the truth in so many areas, and animals, the way we treat animals is one of them. And we have to have our hearts broken in order to be able to kind of wake up and do the right thing.
Yeah, completely. Since you've been a vegan since the age of 18, so for a while now, what piece of advice would you give to some of our listeners today who are looking to, you know, maybe not to drastically change their consumption habits, as maybe they, you know, they can't or they have a difficulty with, but seeing if they can try some new things and be able to change a little bit of their consumption habits to bring that awareness to other people who are surrounding them or family members or friends, what kind of pieces of advice would you give to them?
Well, the advice I'd give out, there's a couple of areas. There's obviously, there may be a feeling like, well, where am I going to get my protein? So just don't worry about that. There's so much protein in vegetables. It's kind of indisputably proof we don't need animal protein. That's fine. That's covered. There's so many. Also, if you like the texture of meat and the taste of meat, then there's amazing, wonderful, which I do. I love to have a vegan veggie sausage now and then. And there's so many wonderful products now. Which, you know, just yesterday I had some vegan fish which tasted amazing. Fish cake. So that's there to help us make this transition. But my meals have got so much tastier since being vegan, because you just mix it up. You enjoy cooking more. There are so many different ways to work with vegetables. So that, and then more crucially, I find, it's like you start to experience a real joy, because there's purpose. There then becomes deep purpose in the choices you make to eat either no meat or much, much less meat. And if you do, then to make sure it's like those animals, to do your research, to make sure it comes from very good places where the animals have a free life. So it gives purpose to our kitchen and to what we put in the mouth, and the joy that comes with that. And because that is all about reconnecting to our beloved nature. So the benefits, I can tell you, are kind of huge, and much more than just kind of making sure we still enjoy our food, which we most certainly do.
And then just finally, Jerome, where could some of our listeners here at Sky News go for more information? Where is the documentary being streamed, and where can they find it so as to kind of watch it for themselves and be able to and to see what it really is?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's also on Google. And it is somewhere else. So it's somewhere else. I forgot where it is. So if you Google it, Hogwood. Also, there's if you go to viva.org, there's a link to all sorts of recipes and places where you can find wonderful recipes for veganism. There's also a petition to end factory farming, which has been started. You'll find that on viva.org. An end factory farming signatory to our Prime Minister to bring this horror to an end. Oh, here we go. It's on Apple Play as well. Google Play, Apple Play, Amazon Prime.